This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our report with the Pope on Sunday and the other stories. That will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis has invited Catholics always to trust in the Lord Jesus, including in difficult moments, because he is always present to redeem us. The Holy Father made the call on Sunday at St. Peter's Square here in the Vatican. In his reflection shortly before praying the traditional Nun Angelus prayer with the faithful,
il Vangelo ci presenta Gesù sulla barca con i discepoli.
Reflecting on Sunday's Gospel taken from Mark chapter 4 verses 35 to 41, in which a storm strikes a boat in which Jesus and the disciples are traveling on Lake Tiberias, Jesus, who was asleep, wakes up to find the disciples terrified and orders the wind to calm down. The Pope said Jesus wanted to put the disciples to the test. After the wind had calmed down, he assures them with his presence. He encourages them. He incites them to have more faith and accompanies them beyond the danger. He does this, the Pope added, to strengthen their faith and to make them more courageous.
I discepoli, infatti, escono da questa esperienza più consapevoli della potenza di Gesù.
The Pope said the disciples came out of this experience more aware of the powers of Jesus and his presence, and therefore stronger and more ready to face other obstacles and difficulties, including the fear of venturing out to proclaim the gospel. Having overcome this trial with him, the Holy Father explained, the disciples know how to face many other trials, even to the cross and martyrdom, to bring the gospel of Christ to all peoples.
E anche con noi, Gesù fa lo stesso, in particolare nell'Eucaristia.
Jesus does the same to us too, in particular in the Eucharist, Pope Francis said. He gathers us around him, he gives us his word, he nourishes us with his body and his blood, and then he invites us to go and transmit everything we have heard and to share what we have received with everyone in everyday life, even amidst difficulties. Jesus does not abandon us in the presence of challenges, he said, but helps us to overcome them. In this way, we learn more and more to hold on to him, to trust in his power to overcome uncertainties, and with courage to tell everyone that the kingdom of heaven is present. The Pope concluded his reflection with an invitation to the faithful to reflect on whether in times of trial they have experienced the presence of the Lord, and whether amidst difficulties they let themselves to be overwhelmed by the turmoil, or do they cling to Jesus in prayer, silence, fraternal sharing of faith and adoration to find calm and peace.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta.
After reciting the Marian prayer with the faithful, the Pope greeted pilgrims from different parts of the world and also called for prayers for peace in all parts of the planet affected by war, particularly Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He prayed to the Holy Spirit to enlighten the minds of rulers and instill in them wisdom and a sense of responsibility to avoid any action or word that fuels conflict and instead aim decisively at a peaceful resolution of conflicts using dialogue or negotiations.
L'altro ieri è venuto a mancare Padre Manuel Blanco.
Pope Francis also remembered Father Manuel Blanco, a Spanish Franciscan missionary who has been serving in the Diocese of Rome for the last 40 years, who died on Friday in Rome at the age of 85 years. He described him as a superior, a confessor, a man of advice, and also took the occasion to appreciate the services rendered to the Diocese of Rome by the many Franciscan brothers, confessors, and preachers. The Catholic Diocese of Sokoto in Nigeria has announced that its priest Father Mika Suleimani was kidnapped by gunmen in the morning hours of Saturday, June 22nd. The incident took place at the premises of St. Raymond Damba Parish, where the priest was a parish priest. The Diocesan Chancellor, Father Nuhu Iliya, released a statement on Saturday appealing to the faithful to pray for the safe release of Father Mika Suleimani. The latest kidnapping comes after earlier abductions of Father Gabriel Ukei of the Diocese of Kamfachan, who was kidnapped early this month and is still in captivity, and Father Christian Ike and Mr. Ogbonia Aneke of the Catholic Diocese of Ekulobia, who were kidnapped on 16th this month, and they too are still in captivity. Kidnappings for ransom of priests, religious, and lay people are increasingly becoming common in Nigeria. Abductees whose relatives or superiors fail to pay the ransom are often killed. The Archbishop-elect of Ndola Catholic Archdiocese in Zambia, His Grace Benjamin Piri, has condemned the country's police for carrying out raids on two parishes a week ago in search of members of the opposition political parties who were suspected to be holding meetings there. Speaking from Ndola at the weekend, Archbishop-elect Piri said the raids were illegal and were carried out without consulting the parish administrations. He reminded the police authorities of the country's constitution, which recognizes the church as an entity and the freedom of worship. The Archbishop directed all Catholic parishes in Ndola not to allow politicians to use church premises for political activities. This includes politicians of the opposition and those in government, including the head of state and ministers. The humanitarian agency of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, known as Catholic Relief Services, launched a seven-year strategic plan for Kenya on Tuesday last week. The plan lays emphasis on a range of issues, including tackling climate change adaptation, fostering youth development, ensuring health, nutrition, and social services, as well as the provision of water, hygiene, and sanitation. The plan also promises response to emergencies, fostering local leadership, and supporting disabled people. The President and Chief Executive Officer of the Relief Catholic Services, Sean Callahan, said at the launch in Nairobi that their agency's work in Kenya is guided by a strategy based on the region's needs and opportunities, pointing out that some of the challenges include severe floods and droughts, which have reduced the production of food and the income farmers get from cultivation. Present at the launch was the Apostolic Nuncio to Kenya, Archbishop Hubertus Van Meegen, who reminded the leaders of the Catholic Relief Services to align their charitable works with the principles of the Catholic social teaching, particularly the preferential option for the poor, the sanctity of life from conception to death, and the inherent dignity bestowed upon every human being by God. The United Nations High Commission for Refugees, the UNHCR, has assured refugees in Uganda that they will continue to be supported despite the dwindling financial resources from donors. Uganda is now hosting 1.7 million refugees, mainly women and children from South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo. But there are also small numbers of refugees from Eritrea, Sudan, Burundi, and Rwanda. The UNHCR representative in Uganda, Matthew Crenstil, said a few days ago at a visit at a refugee camp in northern Uganda that the support will now shift to helping refugees to be self-reliant by giving them business grants, entrepreneurship training, finding suitable jobs for refugees, and supporting them to find and pay for appropriate accommodation. Still in Uganda, Caritas Uganda has called upon the government to strengthen policies that safeguard the quality of food consumed in the country. Speaking a few days ago to farmers who attended a conference held in the capital, Kampala, the National Director of Caritas Uganda, Father Hilary Muhezangango, emphasized the importance of ensuring that food produced and sold in the country meets acceptable standards to avoid diseases that are caused by eating unhealthy food. He appealed to members of parliament to enact laws that ensure regular testing and inspection of food products. Medical doctors in Uganda have several times expressed concern about the increase in foodborne illnesses and death, which they attribute to lack of applicable regulations and enforcement. As part of its contribution to addressing the issue of food scarcity in Uganda, Caritas Uganda is constructing training schools in different parts of the country to educate people about the need for food safety. The Patriarch of Alexandria in Egypt, Archbishop Ibrahim Sidrak, has told a Catholic charity, the Church in Need, that the persecution of Christians in the country is less today than it was during the period of the Muslim Brotherhood, who ruled the country from 2012 to 2013. The current government led by President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has lifted many of the restrictions that had been imposed by the Muslim Brotherhood and allowed Christians to worship freely and to build churches. Archbishop Sidrak said during the Muslim Brotherhood government led by Mohamed Morsi, there were many attacks against Christians in their places of worship. Some supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, he said, are still around, but the current government has dealt with them. Human rights organizations in Egypt say there are still disturbing incidents of Christian persecutions in the country. Christians, for example, are often victims of attacks and crimes and are discriminated against by the law and do not enjoy the same rights as their Muslim fellow citizens. Many Christian youth are unemployed. Amidst the challenges, Archbishop Sidrak said, the Coptic Catholic Church in Egypt has mobilized to welcome migrants and to strengthen the provision of social services, especially education and health. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. As you might know, World Refugee Day is observed globally on the 20th of June every year. This week, the date fell on Thursday, and the theme for this year, as suggested by the United Nations, is solidarity with refugees. Bishop Joseph Mary Kizito is the liaison bishop for the Migrants and Refugees Department of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, SACBC. He is our guest today, and he spoke to Sheila Pierce.
We're talking about the UN World Refugee Day. How do you see this day taking into consideration how refugees are struggling and the number of refugees increasing almost on a daily basis due to various factors, not only in Africa, but worldwide?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to give a message of support on this World United Nations Day for Migrants and Refugees. As you know, my name is Bishop Joseph Kizito from the South African Catholic Bishops Conference, that including Botswana and the Eswatini, and also we have neighboring conference of Lesotho. So I'm the liaison bishop, and my message of support is first to recognize that we are grateful to have the UN as partners in our conference. We have had quite a lot of engagement with the UN, and we need to recognize the resilience of the migrants and refugees, these men and women and children who have been forced by circumstances to get on the move, to save their life, to look for a better life. So on this day, we, the global world, we are together, United Nations, standing together to look at these men and women and the children, especially the children who are on the move.
Well, thank you so much for those words, Bishop Kizito. So speaking of the current situation in Southern Africa, I see that Pope Francis, in his message ahead of the UN World Refugee Day, he asked, or rather, he emphasized once again the words, the four verbs of welcoming, promoting, accompanying, and integrating refugees into societies.
Absolutely. We have just concluded the global campaign of I Belong a week ago with other denominations and organizations. And in that global conference, which we had in Interreligious in South Africa with other religious and diplomats, we looked once again at the current situation of migrants and refugees in Southern Africa and what is our responsibility. This is a global phenomenon. We are not separated from the world. What affects other parts of Europe, India, America, it also affects the southern part. And we are sitting with a lot of people coming into Southern Africa. We are having more conflicts in Africa, violence, wars, persecution, economic difficulties. And these economic difficulties also bring in a lot of political instabilities. So we end up having asylum seekers, and the statelessness also comes in. So we cannot avoid to look at the other side in Southern Africa. We have to participate. We have to see what can we do. Pope Francis, as you have said, he has still given us these four verbs of welcoming. As a South African Bishops' Conference and other organization, we welcome, we integrate, we respect, we protect and accompany, especially the children, by giving them education. We have done very well as a conference that we have engaged the Departments of Education, Department of Home Affairs, to give education to the undocumented children. We have also worked a lot with the Department of Home Affairs to allow the people to have a waiver or extension of their permits. Now, some of the challenges. So a big number of children were stateless. We said about, I think, 19 million in Southern Africa, Lesotho, Swaziland, Botswana. A lot of statelessness. And we have just had this year people from Lesotho sharing with us the challenges they face. Children who are unaccompanied, crossing from Lesotho, coming to South Africa. And this is very worrying. Young children, we got reports from Lesotho, from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Lesotho. So we are tracking them, and we are having cross-border meetings with the people of Lesotho, the Bishops' Conference, to see what we can do. Also in Botswana, they had quite a lot of challenges in Botswana, especially the children in the camps. There are children in the camps, adults in the camps. So the church is doing quite a lot. And we are also having a lot of awarenesses in the community. And people to understand that, yes, South Africa is hosting these migrants and refugees with a few resources, but how can we live together? How can we live side by side as Africans? There's also the challenges of what we call domestic challenges in the departments of home affairs, backlogs, administrative violence, ignorance about human rights. So we as the church, we try to engage the departments. And also, recently what has been happening in South Africa, violent clashes between citizens and foreigners has continued. Abuse has happened. So we need to assist. Then we, as a church, we are also trying to work hand in hand with the Department of Home Affairs to say, you cannot do it alone.
But now, coming back to the theme of this year's UN Refugee, World Refugee Day, which of course is solidarity with refugees, and looking at the current situation in South Africa, where you have a government made up of different political parties, what is your message to the incoming government?
Taking our theme of the UN for June 20th, 2024, solidarity with the migrants and refugees. I think we're expecting this country to be listening and to work together with the organization like UN, the churches, the different organizations. We need to work together to find out what positive contribution can these foreigners do, but to find out, can these people be skilled, or if they have skills, can these skills be tapped into? Can we work with the courts of the law so that we can establish competent people who understand the law, who understand the human rights? We have the lawyers of human rights, children law courts. We want to work hand in hand. We want to work with the other ambassadors in Southern Africa, Lesotho, Eswatini, Zimbabwe. This is what I'm looking for this government to reach out, to challenge the other political leaders, because basically people are moving because of political challenges and difficulties. Can this new government be bold enough to talk to other African leaders? I think, I have to say, in the past, we have been disappointed. We as a church, we as organization, where the government don't talk to their brother presidents and high commissions, the reality. And then the poor people keep up suffering. So what I'm expecting the new government is to work together, to talk the facts, to stop corruption, you know. A lot of unlawful things are happening. A government that can really crack down corruption. Because there's corruption. They tell us how people corrupt the government officials. So we as the government, we in the church, we want to work with the government, a new government of national unity, to really work together. I think for me, those are my expectations.
Any last remarks?
Yes, I would just once again, as I say, to give thanks to the different organizations, to the media. The media, you have done a great contribution. And we need you. We need the UN. We need to partner together. We need a different organization. So this partnership for me is the call, so that we can identify the gaps. We can identify the challenges. The church cannot be left out of this. Issues of migrants and refugees.
Bishop Joseph Mary Kizito from the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus. Well,